And turn to Hebrews chapter 10, once and for all, as our message tonight. As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, I thought it would be good to remind ourselves of some of these truths of Jesus Christ. Well, that's pretty good lettering. I had white, and the white in the background sometimes caused it to be blurry, so we went with yellow. That'll work for us. So let's stand as we read God's word. I think I have my mic on. Am I okay? Got my mic on. Good. Hebrews 10, 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. We know that word now, don't we? We just spent a whole message on it last Sunday morning. Perfect, complete, whole. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Let's go to our Heavenly Father. Lord, we are so grateful for this wonderful truth. This passage is packed, along with many verses prior and after it. But Lord, we're going to focus this evening on these limited passages to prepare our hearts to participate in the Lord's table that your Son told us to do as a remembrance of him. I pray that you would guide and direct us, and I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. So, this evening, as everybody can see in front of me, and thank you for Bob and Brenda for getting this prepared, you can see two serving utensils. One of them has little wafers of bread, and the other one has little cups of grape juice. So why don't we have an altar here, and some bulls and some goats and some sheep lined up? Not in our nice new worship center here. Maybe outside, ready to slay them, to put them on the altar. Why is there nobody here biting at the bit saying, Pastor, get the priest over here, slay one of these buggers, get that blood on the altar. I sinned yesterday, and I need that thing covered. How come none of us are doing that? How come none of us are waiting for a priest to show up? Why do we not have an altar? Why do we just have these elements? Why am I not a priest? Why am I a pastor and not a priest? Why do this? Well, these passages in Hebrews chapter 10 tell us why. And we remember that the book of Hebrews was written to explain to us the sufficiency and the superiority of Jesus Christ to the Old Testament sacrifices and law. So we're going to work our way through this, and we're going to find out biblically why we don't have an altar, why there are not animals making noises, getting ready to slaughter, why nobody in here is saying, please get that blood on the altar, please sprinkle something on there. I need to be atoned for. I don't want to die in my sins. Why is that not happening? It's not because we don't want it to happen and we just figure this is the best way. It's because of what God teaches us that we are doing this. So what has God taught us? So the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the law versus Jesus Christ. For the law, and you notice in this one I have things outlined in green or fluorescent yellow, whatever you want to call it. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So if you just read the highlighted words, you would see the law is a shadow, can never make people what? Perfect. And we know that word. That word is complete, whole. All the parts are there. That law could never do it. That law was a shadow. A shadow is something that gives you an idea of what something looks like. So we could go outside, not right now because it's raining, and one of us could stand, and depending on which way the sun was at, in a particular position, and we could see the outline of your body, all right? If you, say, had big old shoulders and a big old noggin with fondue hairdo out to who knows where, we could look and say, yeah, that's Bob, right? But could I tell you, yeah, and he has green eyes, and he has a mustache, and his heart is healthy. Could I tell you anything more than, yeah, that's Bob? It's a shadow. The shadow compared to the original doesn't give you the details. It just gives you a general impression of what is there. The law was a shadow. There's more specific things than what's stated in the sacrificial system that needs to be taken care of, that's not there, that Jesus Christ does. He's going to fulfill it, all right? Like what? Well, can a goat impart his righteousness to me? Can a goat change me and make me something new? Don't I need that? Don't I need to be changed? Don't I need righteousness? It's a shadow. It shows you something, but it doesn't give you the particulars. I need more than to be covered. I need to be changed. I need righteousness, because all mine, as Sarah aptly stated this morning, all mine is what? Filthy rags. So that's what I believe is being talked about here. How do we know it did not make them complete? Well, for those reasons and this. For if it were possible that it would made complete, they would have ceased to be offered. Right? If offering a bull did the job, then how many times should you have done it? One time. But it did not do the job because they had to do it over and over and over again. All right. Let's do this in application. Why do we not think that's the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the real body and blood? And why is this a pulpit and not an altar? And why am I not sacrificing him again and again and again and again? Because Jesus isn't a bull and he's not a goat. He doesn't need to be sacrificed over and over and over again. He did it once for all. That's why we don't do it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more consciousness of what? So Jesus and his offering once must do what to me, according to verse number 2, if I use it logically? It must what? Purge me so that I have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again of made of sins every year. And folks, that's what happens to people who do not believe in the new covenant.
As we again discussed in Sunday school this morning, so many people in this world want to live under a conditional covenant when God offers us an unconditional covenant. What do I mean? They try to appease God. God says, I've already been appeased. Who appeased you? You didn't appease me. My son appeased me. He paid the price once and for all, and I'm willing to give you a covenant based on better terms. The terms of the old covenant were, if you do these things, I will be your God. There's no if then in the new covenant. If we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God will accept us. There's nothing I have to do to justify myself in his presence. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance.
How many people tomorrow, how many people today went to church, came out of church? I feel cleansed, feel clean. Went out to eat, saw another headline about Trump, depending on what, it wouldn't even matter what side of the aisle, and lost their temper, lost their cool, and went, ugh, I just got out of church, and bam, I'm dirty again, and I'm going to have to go back next week or do something tomorrow. How many people did that today? Who knows how many? They're constantly, how well can you love Jesus Christ if you're constantly reminded of your sin? How enjoyable of a life is that? It's not. And Jesus Christ didn't do it so you could be reminded of this every year. The reason Jesus Christ did this, shed his blood once and for all, is verse number 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Why not? Seems reasonable to me. But we're going to look at why not. Because, verse number, 2 Corinthians 5:19, why can the blood of bulls and goats not clean me? And why can Jesus Christ cleanse me once for all? To wit, picking it up in the middle of discussion Paul's having with the Corinthians, that who was in Christ? Now, if God cannot fully cleanse me, then there's something wrong with who? There's something wrong with God. Because if God can't do it, then what's the question? Who can? It was God in Christ. That's called the what? The incarnation. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. How'd that happen, God? For he made him, Jesus, who is God, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in who? Goat, that bull, that sheep, that dove, that offering had no righteousness that it could impute to you. It had zip, zero, none. Then how am I supposed to stand before God righteously, in righteousness? The only way that can happen is how? If somebody would give me theirs, because all mine, as we've already stated this evening, as is a what? A filthy rag. Then how am I going to have any? The only way I'm going to have any is if Jesus Christ would give his to me. That's how I'm going to have. A bull and a goat can't do it. That's why they could never make the comers thereunto, verse number 1, chapter 10. They could never make the comers thereunto what? Perfect. Complete. Because number 1, they had no righteousness to give me. But Jesus Christ did. Hebrews 9:26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ must have suffered from the beginning of the world, but now he's put that away. I think that's a wrong verse. I'll go back and try to figure out what one that is. But I know what it is. When was Jesus slain? Do you remember that? Before the foundation of the world. All right. So he's been slain before the foundation of the world. So it's not unreasonable. It's not a shock to us. If he was slain before the foundation of the world, then there was no way that the blood of bulls and goats was going to do what? Take away our sins, because Jesus had already what? Been slain. Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. It was always God's plan that who died for our sins. It's always been his plan. Now, continuing on in Hebrews chapter 10. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Why? In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do what? To do thy will, O God. I think that means not only the will of God that Jesus Christ died for our sins, but Jesus Christ came and lived on this earth, and what kind of a life did he live? Perfect. How often did he do God's will? Now, question. Whose heart do I have now as a result of salvation? Whose presence do I have? His. And Jesus always did what? He always did God's will. Me, on the other hand, I did not. And could the blood of a goat or a bull, the sacrifice of them, could that change me that way? No, couldn't. I needed to be made new. I needed a heart that wants to do God's will. Well, none of us have that. And a goat and our animal doesn't have it either. Then how am I going to get it? I need someone who's perfect, who's came to this earth, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the whole will of God in every aspect you can think of, and then died for my sins and would give me that same spirit he had and imputed to me. Now I have a chance. Now I can break free from that bondage, and now I can live that life that God has always desired for me to live. A bull and a goat and a sheep could not do that. That's why it's just a what? It's just a shadow. There's more details to what Jesus Christ did for us that we needed, that we would never get from a bull or a goat. Above, when he said, verse number 8, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the what? By the law. Jesus came and fulfilled all that. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He removed the Old Testament, to establish the second, and he tells us in the book of Jeremiah, he did it on better terms. That's why we don't have a bull or goat or sheep lined up to be sacrificed tonight. Because that's not what I need. That's not going to help me. What is going to help me is the completed work of Jesus Christ, in which he bore my sins, and I get to receive his righteousness, shedding his blood, because he's God. Is God deficient in any sense, form, or manner? No. So when he does something, it's what? It's complete, and it's final. And that's also why I'm not going to change those wafers into his body, nor those cups into his blood. Why would I do that? To offer him again? That seems to me like there's remembrance of sin. And the Bible is clear. We just look. When Jesus does it, there's no what? There's no remembrance of sin. That's why there are representations of what Jesus Christ has done. What could it spiritually, possibly spiritually profit me to eat his body tonight? I can't think of one biblical reason to do it. That's why we're not. That's why we believe what we believe. And that's why we're going to do what we're going to do here in a few seconds. But as we gather here in a few seconds, let's remind ourselves, listen, I'm complete only because of what Jesus Christ has done. I don't need to appease God. I don't need to light candles for him to make him look, to make me look right in his eyes. We don't need to sacrifice Jesus Christ again. I'm complete, forgiven, cleansed, changed, prepared for heaven and eternity. As a matter of fact, I'm so complete. Where am I actually seated tonight? At the right hand of who? Christ. Where? In heaven. That only have, how do incomplete, sin-stained, not cleansed sinners sit next to Jesus Christ in heaven? No, they don't. Only completed, cleansed followers of Christ who have his spirit within them sit there. How did I get that? By remembering, by acknowledging the work of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to remember tonight. So I invite you, if you could, just move forward.